Good morning. Welcome to Cloudcroft United Methodist Church this morning. What I would like to do is just remind our congregation and visitors, we do have a maroon sign-in pew pad. If you would start on this side, pass it to your right. As you sign, just put it at the end of your pew. Also, in your pews, you have a blue Cloudcroft prayer request. If you have a concern, a celebration, a praise, a prayer that you would like for us as a congregation to pray with you and for you, please fill this out, and they will be collected by the ushers during the first hymn. Okay? Now, let us continue and welcome any visitors that are here this Sunday. If you want to just kind of wave your hand, say hello. Yes, I do see we have two here. We've got some of our regular attendees returning. It is so awesome to have all of y'all here this morning. Okay. With that being said, we just like to give Cloudcroft United Methodist hugs, so expect one or two after the service, okay? And here again, welcome. I need to invite the scouts to speak. Is that a yes or a no, Ed?
They're not here.
Okay, well, they are not here, so we will continue on. I would like for you to please look over our announcements that we have that we put into our church bulletin, but I'm going to bring up two or three just for your attention. All right, starting February the 14th and every Wednesday through Lent, that is up through March the 28th, we have a Lenten luncheon. It is from 12 to 1. Soup, sandwiches, and a brief sermon is given every Wednesday by the different ministers up on our mountaintop area. Okay, please do come join us. We would love to have you. Also, on February the 14th, which is Ash Wednesday, here at our church, we will have a Ash Wednesday service, and it will be at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening. And then I know Pastor has an announcement also.
Well, the scouts wanted you to know that the spaghetti supper that they were to have here at our church Friday night is now going to be at the senior center because of the new health laws and what blah, blah, blah kind of kitchen. You know what I'm talking about? So they said they would start serving, what was it, 3:30, Ed? At 3:30, so you can go by early and take something home before dark 30. So that's for the scouts. Also, next week, in the class that I've been teaching, we're starting a new study. It's a Max Lucado study on the seven last words of Christ, and this will be what we'll study through Lent. So if you've been kind of kicking around the idea of maybe coming to a Sunday school class, well, come to this one, and it's just for the weeks of Lent, and then it'll be over. And I think you'll enjoy the study. Max Lucado is very, I don't know, what do you call it, engaging. And finally, during Lent, every Sunday, we are going to have Holy Communion during the worship service. And in preparation for that, I would like to know if there's anybody in here who makes homemade bread and would like to be one of the people who brings bread on one of the Sundays during Lent. Ann Manser, Ann, where are you? That little bitty tiny wave back there on the back row is the one who is organizing all of this. So if you would like to make bread for one of the Sundays, or if you would just like to pick up a loaf of Hawaiian bread and bring it for one of the Sundays, do so. Let Ann know, please. Okay, that's all that I have to say. And I'm asking you now to center your hearts and your minds on how much you love God and all the goodness that's in your life. Take some quiet moments while the prelude is being played and just name the good things that are in your life. Let us worship God.
Our opening hymn is found on page 381. Please stand as we sing together, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us."
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. We are thine, thou dost befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to receive us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Let us continue in the bulletin our opening words. Congregation, please read the bold print. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? God created all things and summons everyone by name. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? No one, nothing can compare to God's glory. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is our everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and never grows weird or weary. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength forever and ever.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to 2088, and we'll sing, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High," two times.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross I did to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Please be seated. At this time, we will have our prayer of confession, and I ask that you please pray these words in silence.
Jesus has come to heal our spirits and our souls. The demons of arrogance, indifference, and apathy are being cast out. New life is offered to you in Jesus Christ. Rejoice, be glad, for God's love is poured out to you this day. Amen. Amen. And now we'd like to invite the children to come for story time with Miss Charlotte.
Thank you. Jesus' divinity at his transfiguration before his resurrection, the world may see just the humble teacher who died on the cross. Your Spirit gives us faith to recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world. Fill us with joy in sharing that good news, so that those who are far away will be drawn to you. Receive our offering through your beloved Son, Jesus. Amen.
While you're still standing, go ahead and turn to page 887 for our affirmation.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No.
In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning we have a request to remember the family that lost their home and their livelihood in High Rolls. That was a tragic fire, and we need to keep that family in our personal prayers. And I'd like for us to see if there's a way that we can respond to their needs. I'll need to know if there's any of you who have personal connections, and that'll help us get in the doorway there. So for that family, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We also have, beginning this week, our Lenten Luncheon series, and we have a prayer request that the Lord blesses that series with fellowship. The neat thing about that Lenten Luncheon series, for those of you who don't know this, is it's people from all the different denominations. Everybody's invited to come and share in soup during the weeks of Lent. And also at the very beginning, there's a short devotional given by one of the pastors from the Ministerial Alliance. So we pray that people will experience hospitality from our church and that they will experience the love of God that we have for them as we welcome them to this place. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We also have a prayer request for the elections that are going to be going on here in our own community. We have mayoral candidates, we have candidates for the trustees in the village, and also we have a need in our school for a new superintendent. So lots of possible changes in leadership, and we know that who is leading it is important. So this church will be praying for all of this. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We also are praising God for the anticipation of moisture that we have this week, praising God already for the gift that is to come, and praying God's blessings on our mountain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We have a prayer request. This went out by email this week. Just as a reminder, for Lisa and Phil Miller have a friend in Texas who is a deputy. His name is Jay Johnson from Caldwell County, and he was shot in the line of duty and seriously injured. He is living and expected to continue to live, but pray for him in his healing process, because this is a big one. So for Jay and his wife Elizabeth and all of their family and friends who are hurting because of this, and God told us to pray for our enemies. So for the one who held that gun as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I also would like to ask you to be in prayer for my parents. Mama got put in the hospital this weekend with slight pneumonia and also a cardiac event. And while Daddy didn't have her taking care of him, he fell twice. So concerns there for my parents in their physical weaknesses. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And as a congregation, we must begin already praying daily for those in authority over us as a church, as the process of selecting the replacement pastor begins. And please be praying daily for wisdom and discernment for the cabinet, the bishop, and all of the district superintendents, as well as be praying now for whomever that is that God selects to come here. And my prayer is that you'll be able to enthusiastically welcome and bless them in the same way that you did me. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, in a time of transition, we're uncomfortable. Change is insecure. We don't know what's coming. And God, I just pray for your comfort, your presence in everyone's life in this church. Give them strong assurance that you are mighty and powerful and that there is good coming. Holy God, we also pray for the craziness going on in our country at all levels by all people, no matter which political persuasion. Lord, have mercy. Help us to learn to be a people who look for the good and can name good instead of always naming bad, bad, bad. And God, I also ask that as we come together today, that you send your Holy Spirit to read those tender places in each heart that is here this morning. We're kind of insecure about sharing our really deepest needs with each other, Lord, and so we need your Holy Spirit to help us out a little bit and just waft all of those concerns into your presence. And God, thank you that you're a God who made us in your image, that you love us passionately, and that you care deeply about everything that we care about. And now, Lord, we pray for ourselves and for each other as we rest on these words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now would you look in your bulletin for the prayer for illumination, and let's pray it together. Unstop our ears, O God, that we may hear your word proclaimed this day. Open our minds and hearts to be changed. Free us from the unclean spirits of worry, fear, destruction, and pride. Teach us, Lord, that we may follow you more faithfully. Amen. Well, you know, the guide that many pastors use, to determine what to preach about each Sunday is something called the lectionary. And all it is a group of people sat down and divided the scriptures all up based on the Christian calendar and decided, well, we're going to read Genesis, and we're going to read Psalms, and we're going to read Luke, and we're going to read something from Paul's letters every Sunday. And so they just list what those possible choices are for each Sunday. And of course, you know, during Advent, it all has about the coming of the Savior. And right after Advent is Christmas and Epiphany, and we begin to look at the early events in the life of Jesus. Well, the next big thing on the Christian calendar is Lent. And it seems like those people who put together those lectionary readings were just in a real big hurry to make sure that we get the point before we experience Jesus being crucified and risen for Good Friday and Easter, that we get the point that Jesus is strong and mighty and is going to be overcome. Because God doesn't want us to get too discouraged during those dark, somber, reflective times of Lent. And so we had Jesus' baptism, we had the transfiguration, where, you know, that amazing event up there on the mountain where the disciples experienced the power of God and then got sent back down into the valley to work. And then today we have Jesus' baptism, where he comes up out of the water and he gets to hear, "You're my beloved son and I'm pleased with you." And then right away Jesus is shot out into the wilderness, where he's going to overcome abject evil. Imagine the thrill that Jesus must have experienced when he was coming up out of those baptismal waters, and that dove was coming down out of the heavens, and he hears his daddy's voice saying, "You are my beloved, and I'm well pleased with you." You talk about empowering goosebumps. I kind of imagine that Jesus wanted to stay standing there in that water a while. Nope, John the Baptist, I'm not getting out of this water. I want to stay right here and revel in the moment. But that wasn't to be. The way the writer Mark tells the story is he says that immediately, the Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness? Yep, the wilderness. That place full of wild beasts and scorpions and poisonous snakes. That place that's dry as dry can be. That place where those ancient people thought that demons dwelled. So it was a horrible place to immediately taken from a spiritual high to be sent out into the desert. For Jesus, it was far worse than the physical challenges that were just about to meet him. He was immediately driven to face fiercely the struggles of his deepest vulnerabilities. Here is what it looked like. Beginning Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. Understatement, writer. 40 days and no food? The devil said to him, first off, if you're the Son of God, so right away, hitting Jesus at his deepest vulnerability, he just heard from God, you are my son. And now here's the devil saying, if you're the Son of God, well, I mean, he's hungry, he's weak, why not prove that he's the Son of God? If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Feed your appetites. You can have whatever you want. After all, you're the Son of God. Deepest vulnerabilities for who Jesus was and who he was called to be for us. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to Jesus, I will give you all the authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose. If you worship me, it'll all be yours. And Jesus replied, it is written. It is written. Jesus knew the book. That's why we need to know the book, so that when temptation comes our way, we can just quote it right back in temptation's face and be saved from succumbing to whatever that temptation is. Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil then led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Jerusalem, the holy city of God, on the highest point of the temple, the place where God was worshiped. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. Now, the devil's going to come at him with his own game, and the devil's going to quote scripture. So, y'all, the next time you hear some kind of Bible thumper quoting scripture at you, you better check it out, because they can misuse it as well as anybody else. Because here's the devil doing it right now. It is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus, and get this, he left Jesus until an opportune time. Jesus was going to get more of it, just like us, constant and always. Jesus was going to get more of it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we like to kind of clean up Bible stories. We kind of like to put a little bit of Tinkerbell sparkle on the Bible stories, don't we? We tend to sanitize them or sanctitize them. Today's story of Jesus going into the wilderness could be cleaned up and reduced into a story of Jesus going on a retreat to prepare for the start of his earthly ministry. Indeed, that's how this story is often told. Some view the story kind of like driving up to a high-octane pump and getting supercharged. Jesus heads out to a quiet place for a little rest and prayer. Well, not, as we say. Poor Jesus has just been on a spiritual high. He had just been called publicly in front of all kinds of witnesses by God's own voice, saying, you are my son and I'm well pleased with you, at his baptism. There was no time for Jesus to revel in the goosebumps, because the Spirit immediately pushed him, drove him out into the wilderness. drives him out, away from, into the midst of a whole lot of challenging conditions. Pushed and hurried, Jesus had no time to linger in the glory of that moment with God. I bet Peter, James, and John could relate because of the way their bubbles were popped when they were up there on that mountain for the transfiguration. Oh, Peter was going to say, "And Jesus, this is so cool. Let's just build 3 temples and we'll just stay up here worshiping God and forever." And Jesus said, Peter, back down the mountain, get to work. You see, this is real. It happens to us too. We've had times where we really felt warmly close to God. Maybe it was goosebumps at church camp devotional underneath the stars. Maybe it was a time when you were just so convinced God had really answered my prayer. We want to stay there. But just like Jesus at his baptism or the disciples up there on the mountain, we get pushed out in a hurry back to the reality of purio, sometimes mean reality. For Jesus, he spent 40 days with no food. I'm not sure I could go too. Then at his weakest point, abject, gut-wrenching, sickening evil appears right in front of him, tempting him with his most physical weakness, his hunger. Then, through power to satisfy all of his desires, and then to take a shortcut to claiming his relationship to God so that he could have his own way. You can just about guarantee, if you've had a good time with God, very shortly, everything about that time will be questioned through temptation. Just like it happened to Jesus. Jesus faced parts of himself that we wrestle with. He faced satisfying his desires, symbolized in the opportunity to change all of those Palestinian rocks into bread. He faced satisfying his pride and his desire to control when all the kingdoms and material things of the world could be his if he would only wink at the devil. All he had to do in that brief second, and then evil would, and give evil what it wanted, which was adoration and worship. Jesus was also alone the entire time he was in the wilderness. It's the same Jesus who, a little bit later, when he calls the disciples to follow him, says that he called them so they would be with him. The same Jesus who didn't like being alone any more than you and I do. It was the same dark, cold kind of aloneness of the desert that those of us who live alone feel. The same aloneness those feel who have lost a child or a spouse. The aloneness of Jesus was not spent in quiet meditation, but rather while struggling hard against evil, against the very thing that would diminish him, defeat him, lessen him, and keep him from the thing that he was sent to do, which was to save us. While that vast silence surrounded him, he struggled to once again hear that loving voice that had just said, "You are my beloved, and I'm pleased with you." And he couldn't hear it. All he heard was the empty echo of silence. Jesus was desperately alone when the evil one came to provide him companionship. To be human is to do awful wrong. And it'll come when we are vulnerable, feeling alone, feeling hungry, feeling defenseless. What is happening here? Why would God let something like this happen? What is this passage saying when it says Jesus was driven into the wilderness right after his baptism? Might sound a little bit familiar. Just when things seem to be going really well, there's a huge crash. Just when we think we've arrived and gotten it all figured out, or have it all together finally, crash. Just when we think we've got it made in our jobs or careers, or when we get the kids raised, and now I can relax, crash. Just when we think we've overcome temptation, the one we are particularly vulnerable to, crash. The times when things are going best, when we are happiest, when we feel the best from day to day, are when we can expect testing to come around the next corner. The wild beasts of the wilderness will start roaring close by and soon. It happened to Jesus too. I suppose we can take some relief in that. At least Jesus understands. I think the wilderness is where Jesus got some exercise. He already had the tools. We know that because God had just said to him, "You are my son and I'm pleased with you." He had just gotten a big attaboy from God at his baptism. In the wilderness, he got stronger for what he had to do next. Jesus learned his strength and learned how to use his tools during this wilderness marathon. In the next 3 years, Jesus was going to have to draw on those strengths often. In the Luke version of the temptation, it says, "When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him for an opportune time. More was to come. You can bet on it." Later, when he struggled on the cross, Satan was after him again. Remember how alone he felt on the cross? "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Alone. Now, there's an important element to this story, which is part of God's promise throughout the Bible. Even while Jesus struggled, he was not alone. Even though he felt alone, remember, feelings can be manipulated. Feelings can be manipulated. They are not the basis of faith. People who search for a goosebump religion are in trouble. They are easily duped and deceived. It's a mighty, flimsy platform with which to assure oneself that God is present. Be aware of being manipulated by feelings. Be full instead of fiery faith. And remember the promise, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." In another place, God's promise is to be with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice God's presence is so fiercely protective of us that even death is only a shadow. God was aware of the danger caused by the tempter in the wilderness, but Jesus was never without God's presence. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting and totally hungry. He was tempted by Satan. He was threatened by wild beasts. Yet in the midst of the threatening chaos, it says angels waited on him. Angels? Huh? Angels? Angels are God's messengers. They are symbols of God and God's presence. Angels didn't make the wilderness go away, but they bring comfort in the midst of the wilderness. whatever trial you are in now or have been in, think of the angels who appear. Did you receive a surprise phone call or a casserole? Did someone give you some act of kindness that made you think, I think I can make it? All good comes from God. All good comes from God. Look for God's good to raise you up when you feel surrounded by the beasts of the desert that you are in. Those good people are the messengers of God's love and presence for you. While Jesus struggled in the wilderness with attacks by wild beasts, with the forces of evil, and with his own human frailty, angels were ministering to him. God was there providing Jesus with the resources, the encouragement, and the reminders that he needed for this spiritual combat. From the presence of God came the power Jesus needed to withstand the testing, to overcome the assault of evil. Hear this, God is with us too. It's hard living the life we have to do. It feels we are alone often, doesn't it? There are beasts out there who seek to devour us. It feels like there's no help. It feels like we are alone. It feels like we've been abandoned. But we are a people of faith. Regardless of how we may feel, regardless of how we may perceive our plight, regardless of how alone we may feel during our exercising in the wilderness, we are never truly alone, just as Jesus was not alone. God simply doesn't work that way. We are made in God's image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made precious in God's sight, and God loves you, says the prophet Isaiah. God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalm chapter 46, the very first verse. Just as God fortified and strengthened Jesus for the ordeal in his wilderness, so you and I are fortified. We are fortified by a fiery faith. And what is fiery faith? Well, it's faith with an attitude. Fiery faith is keeping on in spite of the message that circumstances want to defeat you with. Faith is keeping your eye on God, on the good, and on God's way, and not being deterred by all the chatter and distractions of the feelings which terrify us. We too have been given the tools. And we are in God's image, just as his own son was. We can overcome. Would you listen to this prayer? Now, God, I have two requests today. The first is that you give us eyes to see the angels that are in our lives. Eyes that recognize them bringing your presence and encouragement into our wildernesses. The second request is that you will make us all angels. May we have the sensitivity to be angels. May we be those who bring a word of hope or a comforting presence for the people in our lives who are suffering. Give us courage to go do what you prompt us to do so that those who suffer are not alone. And Lord God, help us not to forget the words of this sermon today. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the little black book, Faith We Sing, number 2087, we will glorify the King of Kings, and that is faith with an attitude. So sing it with attitude.
Please stand as we sing together.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
There's someone out there in your life who's suffering. I heard about a family today who had a fire in high rolls. Who else do you know? Who else have you heard of? You to be an angel, to be the messenger of God's goodness. Go and flap your wings, all you angels, and take God's goodness to those in need. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom to you now, shalom, my friends. May God's full mercies bless you, my friends. In all your living and through your loving, Christ be your